The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator... Belleville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Thursday, October 20th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're really glad you've joined us here in our little piece of cyberspace we call Normal Show Live. We're coming to you from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, and also joining us from the virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, just up the road at the mouth of the Columbia River, the lovely Cannabis Carrie.
Just up the road, if you take a canoe.
You swished right in, Carrie. Well done, they say.
Thank you.
So, Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after the first break. What do we have in the news today?
Well, I'm pretty excited about today's hemp headlines because we have not one but two video stories to bring you. First, we're going to bring you yesterday. A lot of people that were live in the show noticed that we had a little commotion at the very beginning of the show with the KGW News Channel reporters in there. We're going to cover how they covered our story last night. Also, we're going to go to The Last Word on another NBC affiliate and see what they have to say about that new Gallup poll. And a Hollywood dispensary got slapped with a very large lawsuit yesterday. We're going to tell you about all that in the hemp headlines.
All right. Thanks, Carrie. We're looking forward to that. Also on today's show, it's Groovin' Thursday, and that means it's time for some more great hip-hop, rap, R&B, soul, or funk music. And coming up today, we've got JohnDoeRadio.com, which brings us our Groovin' Thursday music. Today's music comes to us from Everlast, and the song is called I Get By, so we're looking forward to that. At half past the hour, we've got our schedule's a little weird right now. Usually we do Leap Speakers on the second and fourth Thursdays, and we do Southern California Scene on the first, third, and fifth Thursdays, but somehow our schedules got crossed, and we've got both of them on today's show, so you're getting a bonus show today. At half past, we're going to speak with Captain Joe Brooks, a retired Connecticut police officer with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. He's going to talk about his experiences in law enforcement and why cops say legalize drugs. And then at 45 past, Terry Joyce joins us for our Southern California Scene, along with DeJay Couty, who's the new co-host of the Hollywood Hemptress Hour. Also, she's with the Patients Advocacy Network. They'll be telling us all about their plans of protesting and fighting back against this federal crackdown that we see going on in the state of California from those four U.S. attorneys that are causing all that problem. They'll stay with us in hour two for Toker Talk Radio, so those of you listening live will be able to call in to 971-533-7111 with your comments and questions, and we'll be hanging out for Toker Talk Radio and taking all sorts of extra looks at the news as well. So hope you stay with us, and for those of you listening on the podcast, we will be right back after these messages. We are the voice of the Marijuana Nation. Check out our high def podcast feed on iTunes.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Shanna, your Hector David, PKA of the Dirtball, Vizca Raka, Hilatidin, Alla Or.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply all the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Yesterday in Rolla J Studios, we had our local NBC affiliate here in Portland, Oregon, KGW Channel 8, come in to interview our very own Russ Belville on the recent release of those Gallup poll numbers. A news crew came into the studio about 15 minutes before airtime, interviewed Russ as he was preparing for Normal Show Live, and then stayed just a few minutes into the show to get some shots of our podcast live. The clips were for their evening show Live at 7 and featured an interview with Russ in studio, along with Judy Cushing, the president for Partnership Oregon, an anti-drug group in the state. We never know just what angle these interviews will take when they make it through editing and out to the public, but we were rather pleased with the non-biased reporting of the KGW news staff. We have the video, and we go to it now.
A Gallup poll shows 50% of Americans now support legalizing marijuana, and that is the first time an independent and scientific national survey showed so much support. News Channel 8's Erica Harquist is live just outside the studio here on the Bricks with more on tonight's hot story. Erica?
Steph, experts say that this is somewhat of a landmark, and this story has a lot of people talking.
Americans have polled in favor of marijuana.
It's a hot topic,
to chart
legalizing marijuana.
This
it even came up in last night's District 1 congressional debate,
the first
right here on KGW.
Significant revenue enhancement.
For Gallup to come out and say this, which has been asking the same exact question since 1969, this is a watershed moment.
Russ Belville is an outreach coordinator for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, or NORML. Each weekday, he runs a podcast out of his home. He says to educate people about marijuana and why it should be legal.
Today we're going to give you
the Gallup poll results released Monday found that 50% of Americans support legalizing marijuana, while 46% are opposed. Look at the bottom. From left to right, you can see how opinions have changed since 1970.
Pretty much a useful substance that is not the demon drug that everyone makes it out to be.
Marijuana is so normalized in the youth culture that it's very hard for them to see any dangers associated with it.
Judy Cushing is the president of Oregon Partnership. It's a statewide nonprofit promoting drug and alcohol awareness. Her work is largely around marijuana and youth. Here are each of their reactions to the Gallup poll results.
Disappointment, but not surprise. I think the American public is not informed. They aren't very educated on the subject of marijuana.
I think they're understanding more. They're becoming better educated.
Cushing says marijuana is not a benign drug. She says it impairs learning and judgment. She worries about pot smokers getting behind the wheel of a car.
We're sending a message that it's just fine to smoke as many joints as you want, get high, drive if you want, All of that is really bad, and most importantly, it's really bad for their brains.
Belleville says what we're doing right now is prohibition, and it doesn't work.
We have 25 million adults in the United States use cannabis at least once per year, so obviously the prohibition doesn't work. It also creates great harm in that we arrest 850,000 people a year. We spend $15 billion a year on a war on drugs that isn't working.
He says legalizing marijuana would create tax revenues, jobs, and business created by industrial hemp. Cushing cites recent research that supports a so-called gateway dimension of marijuana, that its use creates greater risk of abuse or dependency on other drugs down the line.
When the young adolescent brain becomes addicted, they're more to marijuana, they're more likely to become involved with other substances.
There's a natural progression to the way people use substances, but that doesn't mean everybody goes on that natural progression. An analogy I like to use is, just because your kid bought a tricycle doesn't mean he's going to be a Hell's Angel when he grows up.
Back out here live now. Last week, the California Medical Association, which represents the state's doctors, acknowledged some health risk associated with marijuana use, but proposed that it be legalized and regulated along the same lines as drinking and tobacco. Steph, back to you.
Erica, thank you so much for your story. Very interesting.
That was a great piece there that they did, and I was really happy with the way that it was portrayed. You know, there was a lot more that was asked during that interview, and you always, when you're doing these things, you always want to be careful to make sure that you're not going to get some sort of quote taken out of context, some sort of situation like that where it's going to make the movement look bad. So I was really happy with how that turned out. I think it turned out as best as I could have hoped it turned out. I hope the studio looked good. Everybody liked what was going on there, and we made a good contact with KGW there, Erica Hartquist. You can follow her on Twitter, Erica Hartquist on Twitter, and let her know that you appreciate the job they did on the editing of that piece. It made it look good. I did want to address one of the points that I didn't get edited in there that I could have addressed, I suppose, and that's when the woman from Pushy, you know, People United for Safe Healthy Youth, you know, whatever they're calling themselves, she said, we're sending a message to the kids that you can smoke as many joints as you want and get behind the wheel of a car. Nobody cares. Who's sending this message, man? And I know it's not me. I'm not sending the message you can smoke as many joints as you want and get behind the wheel of a car. I don't know who she's been hanging out with, but we better make sure that they're not in charge of delivering the messages to the youth.
Last word on MSNBC, Lawrence O'Donnell took the time to comment on that Gallup poll on marijuana legalization released this week. In the poll, for the first time, support for legalization of marijuana reached the tipping point of 50%. O'Donnell has served as a staff director on the Senate Finance Committee and has recently had his MSNBC show, The Last Word, move from the 8 p.m. time slot to the 10 p.m. time slot. In his comment on Tuesday, he made the case about the disconnect between public opinion and public policy. We have the video of his Last Word segment on marijuana legalization, and we can take you to that now.
America continues to rewrite its attitude toward legalizing marijuana, while the federal government's attitude remains etched in granite. Since Gallup started asking Americans if marijuana should be legal back in 1969, most have always said no. Until now. In a Gallup poll released yesterday, 50% said pot use should be legalized. That is, pardon the expression, a record high. A minority of 46% continue to say marijuana should not be legalized. That is a drop of almost 40 points since 1969, when 84% were absolutely certain that pot should never be legalized. Now, in a democracy, we should expect such a dramatic shift in public opinion to be reflected in our public officials. But in the United States Senate, which would have to vote to legalize marijuana nationally, support for legalizing marijuana has gone from 0% in 1969 to 0% today, even though the United States Senate now includes some admitted former pot smokers who now have no intention of making legal what they once got away with. President Obama, himself a former pot smoker whose academic and professional achievement was obviously unhindered by the occasional high, appointed Michelle Leonhardt as his head of the Drug Enforcement Administration. The Obama administration, in the person of the head of the DEA, has insisted that marijuana remain classified a Schedule I drug, which means the Obama administration officially considers marijuana to be just as dangerous as heroin. Now, we know that no one in the Obama administration is stupid enough to actually think that. But we also know that politicians have no intention of facing reality anytime soon when it comes to marijuana. Politicians will continue to allow young lives to be ruined for mere possession of marijuana. Politicians will continue to allow people to be arrested, allow people to go to jail, allow people to get criminal records, get kicked out of school, get fired, be turned down for jobs because they try or use marijuana. Something more than one president of the United States has done and gotten away with. Meanwhile, America is going to continue to get high, as it always has, legally on booze and illegally on a lot of things, including marijuana, which is a much, much healthier choice than whiskey. Senators, members of Congress, presidents, vice presidents, and Supreme Court justices are going to continue to get high, many of them every day and every night. Many of them will do it publicly and loudly and legally at restaurants and campaign fundraisers and at state dinners. They will raise their glasses and get high. And they will continue to put people in jail for using a harmless, non-liquid way of getting high, like marijuana. Such hypocrisy carries an even stronger stench than the alcohol-drenched breath of those politicians and judges and prosecutors and DEA officials. I really don't know how they can sleep at night without the booze.
Somebody pointed that out to me, and they said, you know what, that almost sounds like a radical rant, and I must say kudos to you, Lawrence O'Donnell. That was one hell of a rant. Exactly. How do they sleep at night knowing what they're doing to this country, knowing what they're doing to the people of this country, and meanwhile not having a single problem with the most popular high out there, alcohol, being absolutely celebrated in our culture? It's just an amazing load of hypocrisy, and I'm so glad we had somebody in the mainstream media calling them out on it.
Just another California dispensary getting slapped with big money fines to close down. This time, the dispensary called Little Amsterdam Weed Shop that's located in West Hollywood is being served with court papers. The owner of the shop is Drew Pierre Frederick, but his fans know him as Lil Fizz from the R&B group B2K. He opened the shop in July of 2010, and law enforcement officials say that the shop is located in a place where dispensaries are strictly prohibited. The lawsuit against Frederick was filed yesterday in the L.A. County Superior Court and is asking him to cease and desist immediately and pay the $2,500 fine for every day that the shop has been open. He's currently open 477 days, so his bill to the city is for $1,192,500. But that isn't the end of the money that LA County is seeking from the celebrity. They are also asking a staggering $750,000 in law enforcement costs and attorney's fees related to the case. The dispensary is open for business today. I gave them a call. The person who answered the phone said that she has no idea what the plans of the owner were for remaining open, but for now in West Hollywood, patients who rely on Lil Amsterdam might want to stock up.
Oh, man. So we're going to spend all of this police resources here going after Lil Fizz, huh? Lil Fizz of B2K, and try to shut down his dispensary. You know, it's just so maddening, you know, day after day, week after week, that we do these stories on the sheer amount of police resources, time, money, effort, media coverage that's expended trying to stop Americans from getting marijuana. And especially when we're talking here on the West Coast, when it's Americans who've jumped through all the hoops to become medical marijuana patients. And I know in California, it's not that hard a hoop to jump through, right? You know, it's a doctor's recommendation. It's a lot more difficult in almost every other medical marijuana state. You got to go get, you know, all your medical records. You have to show chart notes from the past 3 years. There's a list of conditions. It's very narrow, very strictly defined. And that's kind of one of the shames, too, is that in other medical marijuana states, they get painted with the California brush, as if anyone can just walk into a tent anywhere and get a medical marijuana card in any of the states. And that's just not so. But all this effort that we put forth on doing this, all this police time and effort and money and equipment and overtime that we spend trying to stop people from getting marijuana, when we could turn that energy around into promoting the marijuana industries, into promoting industrial hemp and medical marijuana and recreational use of cannabis, and create a lot of jobs and revenue. It just doesn't make any sense. We got a cash cow sitting here waiting to be milked, and you people want to lock us in jail. We'll be right back with Groovin' Thursday.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Centuries you have slurred the meaning of the words we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish.
Have you considered medical marijuana? Double-blind, peer-reviewed studies have found cannabinoid therapies to be successful in treating the symptoms of Alzheimer's disease, ALS or Lou Gehrig's disease, brain cancers, chronic pain, diabetes mellitus, dystonia, fibromyalgia, GI disorders, hepatitis C, HIV/AIDS, hypertension, incontinence, MRSA, multiple sclerosis, osteoporosis, pruritus, rheumatoid arthritis, sleep apnea, and Tourette's syndrome, as well as anecdotal evidence suggesting relief from anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress, plus reduction in the need for narcotic painkillers. Side effects of medical marijuana can include euphoria, relaxation, anxiety, panic reactions, paranoia, tachycardia, dry eyes, dry mouth, concentration and reaction time impairment, appetite increase, and in 37 states, arrest and incarceration. But medical marijuana is non-toxic and cannot cause overdose. Medical marijuana. It's not for everyone, but ask your doctor if medical marijuana may be right for you.
Pop Pass Records.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
Show life? It need a clearance from NASA. It's John Doe Radio.
John Doe here with your Groovin' Thursday tune on Normal Show Live. Whitey Ford, a.k.a. Everlast, with a tune today I think everybody is going to enjoy. Songs of the Ungrateful Living, a brand new album out yesterday. You can pick it up on iTunes. You may remember Whitey Ford, Everlast, from acts such as House of Pain, or maybe La Cosa Nostra, or who knows, maybe you even remember Whitey Ford Sings the Blues. Some great tunes from this guy, this one called I Get By. You heard it right here on Normal Show Live. Thank you very much. I am John Doe. Please check us out, 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 Mountain. Thank you again for all your support. It has been a pleasure bringing you these tunes and bringing you the John Doe Radio Show every day. Thank you. Till we meet again next week, enjoy this tune we all trying to get by. I'm John Doe. See ya.
Government man keep calling my house, talking about I owe, harassing my spouse. Gotta park my truck on another block, cause the subprime loan got my ass in hock. Got a couple good friends with helping hands. I need a brand new job with a healthcare plan. They closed the plan, they stole my job, and told me crime don't pay unless you ask the mob. So I smoke a little grass, drink a little wine, watch a little tube, try to kill a little time. Every single day I bought a little more behind, but I'm paying it no mind, it'll all be fine. I get by, I barely get by, I barely get by. I stay a little high, I ain't gonna lie, I barely get by. Party people in the place to be, put your hands in the sky if you're barely getting by. Sounding on to the break of dawn, got to keep the rent paid and the power on. Yes, yes, y'all, and it never stops. I don't trust the government, I don't trust no cops. We dip and we dive and we socialize, we struggle and we strive just to stay alive. I get by, I barely get by. When I finally get home, I can't relax, cause I've been overworked and I've been overtaxed. My bank account's empty, all my cards are maxed, and I ain't looking for no pity, I'm just stating the facts. I voted for some change, and it's kinda strange, now it's all I got in my pocket. I bought a few LEDs, now I'm growing some trees, and it's a sweet fucking hustle, don't knock it. I told y'all before I would break the law to put food in my baby girl's belly, cause the senator man took a bribe in hand and went and shipped my job to New Delhi. I get by, I barely get by, I barely get by. I stay a little high, I ain't gonna lie, I barely get by. People in the place to be, put your hands in the sky, you're barely getting by. Sounding on to the break of dawn, got to keep the rent paid and the power on. Yes, yes, y'all, and it never stops. I don't trust the government, I don't trust no cops. I dip and I dive and I socialize, I struggle and I strive just to stay alive. I get by, I barely get by, barely get by. I stay a little high, I ain't gonna lie, I barely get by.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
The fact is today, people don't go to jail for possession of marijuana. I know you like to pretend it does, and there's a lot of misinformation about that. But finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn. You find one, you will make a big story because it doesn't exist. Finding somebody in jail or prison for a first-time nonviolent offender for possession of marijuana is like finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn, finding a unicorn.
Normal Show Live, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
I'm gonna light me a pipe of inspiration. I'm gonna blow away troubles on my head. I'm gonna leave this nasty place to your nasty jubilees. And travel to a better place. And travel to a better place. And travel to a better place instead.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101, by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson, or Norman. And if you're one of the 26 million Americans who smoked marijuana last year, you need to get involved in the drive to legalize marijuana. We need your help to stop the senseless arrest of more than 800,000 Americans each year on marijuana charges. Together, we can end marijuana prohibition and stop the arrests of marijuana smokers. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORNL.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Weed.
That's Hoovy Valley, Hoovy Ha.
Weed.
Where any office boy or young mechanic.
Now it's time for a report from the epicenter of American cannabis culture with our Southern California correspondent. You know her from ComedyNation.com and her appearance as a finalist on season one of NBC's Last Comic Standing. It's our friend, cannabis comedian and marijuana activist, the lovely and talented Terry Joyce.
All right, before we get started here, let me mention that my apologies to Joe Brooks and Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Apparently the schedule is messed up and Joe wasn't expecting our call today. So we will get Joe rebooked onto the show so he can talk about his experiences as a retired Connecticut police officer and how he works with law enforcement against prohibition. And working with us to call this audible, my good friend down there in Southern California, you know her, you love her, you can't get enough of her. It's Terry Joyce. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Thank you for adjusting again.
Oh, no problem. I'm just, I keep a window open to talk to you.
That's so very nice of you. Appreciate that. You know, I'm really excited to get going on this interview because of your guest today, who I understand is your new co-host as well. So tell us what's going on. I mean, this federal crackdown, these U.S. attorneys, everybody's, putting the hammer down and tightening the thumbscrews, so to speak. And I know you and your guest are definitely going to have a lot to say about that.
Yes, there's definitely we are definitely in it now.
Yeah.
By the way, my new co-host is Dejay Kuti. She is the president of the Patient Advocacy Network, and she's also been interviewed here several times with you. We've been joining forces together because of the fact that the feds are cracking down on the collectives in California. Dejay, as well as in solidarity with in Northern California, we protested in front of the federal state building, and that was quite an experience because everything, there's so much happening with Occupy LA.
Sure.
That also launched. And earlier that day, they were doing a demonstration around the corner. They had some really keynote speakers. Cornel West spoke, which was really exciting. And, we came back, and when we started to protest, it was just like Dejay with a bullhorn. And let me tell you, she is amazing with a bullhorn. And, you know, she had a bullhorn, and I had just like one sign in the air, like I'm a patient, not a criminal. And all these police officers came marching down the street, and I was like, oh my God, they can't be coming for us, you know? And they turned the corner, and DeJay had the bullhorn. She goes, the medical marijuana community in Los Angeles loves our LAPD. We love the fact that you protect us. I'm like, oh my God, I was sweating. And they went around the corner and arrested the monk.
Okay.
Basically, well, yeah. I mean, they had some religious leaders, and they knew that they were exercising civil disobedience. They knew they were going to get arrested.
Gotcha.
But it's a funny moment. But yeah, there's so much happening right now. And one thing that when we were there that day, we found that Occupy LA really sympathized with our cause, and they asked us to join them and begin. And we started. And DeJay, she brainstormed. She's so brilliant. She came up with Occupy 420.
Nice.
And so, yeah, I'd like to introduce DeJay Kuti to the show.
All right, DeJay, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I bet your schedule has, as busy as it already was, has probably gotten a whole lot busier with these recent announcements, these threatening letters to the landlords of dispensary owners, and these ATF
and
memos.
And the crackdown has started. The feds have actually started raiding and seizing bank accounts here in California. Mm. So what they have threatened, they are definitely starting to act upon. They have not actually put a landlord in handcuffs. And they actually have not marched a city attorney out of any city hall in the state of California as they threatened for drafting regulations. But they are still definitely going after patients and their cultivators here in all across California.
Yeah, and you know what one of the things I've heard, at least from the contacts I have in Southern Oregon, is that this has definitely mobilized the community to, you know, put aside a lot of the bickering and differences that people have, and kind of forged everyone together in a common fight.
You would hope. I mean, still, I mean, just in the fact that, you know, you get some female activists who jump forward and start, you know, something called Occupy 420, which I'll tell you, the rest of the occupation loves it, and the media actually loves it. But, you know, all it takes is a couple sourpuss activists who, you know, decide they just want to try to belittle anything and anybody, what anybody does. I think, unfortunately, medical marijuana is probably one of the movements with the most obstructors involved in it that try to do more dividing and conquering than unifying in this movement, unfortunately. But you know, it's great for us, because whenever I see that happen, when you have like somebody decides they're going to go on a national rampage against you for starting Occupy 420, you know you're doing something right. You know you're on the right track. You know you've gotten their attention.
Right. We're speaking with DeJay Kuti from the Patients Advocacy Network, co-host of Hollywood Hemptress Hour, with our own Hollywood Hemptress, Terry Joyce, who's also on the line with us. And there's been a lot of media report lately. I was just doing our local media here in Portland on the Gallup poll that showed 50% of Americans supporting outright legalization. And I'm wondering how that has resounded through Southern California, if you're hearing a lot about that on your media, and what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I mean, I think it's one of, again, I don't think it surprises anybody that people are finally willing to admit that they support cannabis. I think that it's probably more than 50%. I just know how these polls end up finding the oldest, more conservative people at home, because that's who they end up polling, is
sure.
People who still have a landline and answer their phone at 2:00 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I think what I see in this is this going to have any sway, persuasion, effect at all in Washington, which I think is, you know, a bit more important than necessarily, you know, exactly how people feel about that in Southern California. We, more than anything, when we hear news like that, we want to know how that's going to translate into safe, effective policy in Washington.
Yeah, that's a very good point, and it brings up something that kind of ties together the Occupy movement along with the legalization movement. It was just, of all places, something I saw on a Twitter post from someone who said, it was something along the lines of, real people support marijuana legalization at 50%. Corporate people support it at 0%. It ain't getting legal. What do you think about that? Do you think it's something that this ties together with the Occupy movement, that really there's something about that corporations wanting to keep marijuana illegal for their own purposes?
Of course. I mean, that's the whole reason why it became illegal in 1937. It had nothing to do with Mexican farm workers having sex with white women out in the cornfield. You know, it had to do with paper. It had to do with nylon. It had to do, you know, with racism. You know, there were so many different factors that went into making marijuana illegal to begin with back in 1937. And that, I think, is what's so exciting about the marijuana legalization movement and the Occupy movement working together, is it's the same corporate greed, it's the same government lies that have got us exactly to where all of us are right now. Whether you're a marijuana activist or someone who can't find a job right now, the same boot is on the same throat for the same reasons. And it's really refreshing to me to see that the people at the Occupation get that. So I've been doing this a really long time, Russ, mm-hmm. and 20 years ago, if I jumped in with a bunch of people who were protesting at the time, you know, we were in Iraq.
Right.
And if I jumped into that line, which I've done before, with a sign that says no more drug war, you're basically kicked out of their protest going, we don't want any crackheads in our protest. This isn't about legalizing drugs. This is about, you know, ending the death of people in another country. And I'm like, they're killing brown people right here in America, you know. It's like, but now 20 years later, they get it. They get that all of these wars are tied in, and all the same people are the victims. And so it's real refreshing to work together and not have to explain this, to say, hey, no more drug war. And they go, yeah, we need to legalize marijuana. I don't even have to explain it to them anymore. So it's exciting. It's a real exciting time. And I really think that every marijuana activist in the country should take the opportunity to engage their local Occupation and, you know, educate. We've got some flyers that people can download and print, and there's a big blank spot on the flyer where you can put your own organization, your own Occupy 420 event anywhere in the country. But the rest of that flyer basically explains what the federal government is doing right now, that they're threatening, you know, they threaten banks for having accounts with dispensaries. They threaten landlords for renting to dispensaries. And, of course, the one that really bugged me, got my hair up, is that patients can't own handguns. Yeah. And if people don't understand that, you know, they're going after the media. They're telling you, Russ, that you cannot be having this radio show where you're promoting all this discussion about marijuana. They're going to put you in prison. So they've taken away our First Amendment rights, our Second Amendment rights. They've taken away our 10th Amendment rights. And I think it's really important that patients and you know, just advocates of marijuana in general get out there and explain that to their local Occupation. And I guarantee you will be embraced, and you will get to get out there and get your demand out there that legalization of marijuana be part of the discussion in Washington, D.C.
Absolutely. Hear, hear. And it's worse than just handguns, DJ. It's any weapons. It's any firearms. It's rifles. It's shotguns. It's hunting rifles. It's disgusting. And I tell you, the patients in Montana are raising holy hell about it. I'll tell you that.
Good. Their legislature is, too. Their legislature has denounced the federal government's position, and I love that. That's American.
That's right. That's right. Now, let me get a question to Terry on this, because you mentioned, you know, joining up with the Occupy movement and protesting there and educating on the drug war issues. There's been a little bit of a mini controversy here in Portland with its Occupy movement with respect to marijuana use at the occupied parks downtown. And, of course, our medical marijuana law says you can't medicate in public view. And a lot of people have taken that to mean, well, then I can medicate in my tent here at the Occupy. But, of course, the law also says you can't medicate in a public space, and of course a park is a public space. Has there been anything like that with Occupy LA? Any?
There has a little bit. The first thing, I actually went down to Occupy LA the Sunday after it started, and ran into an activist named Patrick Moore. He actually has his own show coming out on the THC TV, and he was saying, well, you know, we can't medicate around here. They've asked us not to medicate or to bring marijuana into the mix. Now, about a week and a half later, you know, I heard that, you know, from DeJay that she met some people and there was specific smoking tents. And DeJay and I, when we were there, we found a smoking area and medicated in that area. And then I realized I did another interview with a friend of mine who has a show on YouTube. And he says, we're not supposed to smoke right here because this is private property. Huh. And then I said, oh, really? I go, well, you know what? The world belongs to everyone. And I just freaking lit up right there.
Okay.
I wonder if I'm going to get in trouble for that. But apparently there is a designated smoking area. Patrick Moore also said that they were passing around. Forgive me for not remembering the name of what the device was, but it was a unit where it takes away the smoking smell.
Okay.
And they were giving it to all patients who were out there for free if they need Medicaid, they can use that.
Is that the Smoke Buddy, the little filter system?
That was it. It was a Smoke Buddy.
SmokeBuddy.com, yes. I think, is their website.
The interesting thing about LA's occupation is that they're doing it on City Hall's South Lawn, which is Los Angeles' free speech area.
I see.
And it has been the place where everyone in the medical marijuana movement has lit up on that lawn. So it makes it a tricky thing where that is the designated place where City Hall tells patients to go. And now that the occupation is there, they're trying to keep that down to keep things safe. So it's interesting. It's kind of the opposite of what you have, is that the South Lawn of Los Angeles City Hall is People's Park, basically, and that's where they want you to smoke. But again, you know, the occupation wants to be safe, and I was real happy to hear that they did actually set up a patient medicating area, because I understand quite a few of the activists out there are patients.
Yeah, you know, and that's something that once you've gone onto a cannabinoid therapy, you're using that as your medicine. You need to be able to, you know, to treat your pain, and there's no reason why people in pain shouldn't also be allowed to petition for their government for a redress of grievances, assemble, have freedom of speech. You want to take that away by saying, yeah, but you have to do it in pain. So yeah, it makes sense. Let's find a constructive solution to the issue. So with respect to the drug war issue, though, just the free speech part of it, DeJay, they're welcoming there at Occupy LA for the anti-drug war messages as well?
Absolutely. I mean, they really are on it. And one of the ways that Terry and I were able to kind of explore that was after our federal rally, to go down there and chant with them. And the first thing I asked on my bullhorn when there were a lot of people around is I just yelled to the crowd, who loves marijuana? And everyone within earshot threw their hands in the air. And we started chanting, no more drug war. And that's when we knew, okay, we're going to be able to work with this movement. We'll be able to work together.
Yeah, I think that there's an increasing awareness that the drug war is a tool. It's a tool that many groups use, many oppressing groups use for different reasons. But in and of itself is a tool. I spoke with the Independent Firearm Owners Association president yesterday, and he was explaining how it's a tool to be able to strip the guns away from people. I speak to medical people, they say it's a tool to promote the big pharmaceutical profits. So I think even people who aren't typical, you know, 420 lifestyle pot smoker people like us are starting to realize how the drug war still affects them. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's because I think we've reached a point in this drug war where everyone we know has been touched by it in some way. Either their son got pulled over with a joint in the car everybody knows somebody who's been wrangled by this drug war system, and they realize what bullshit it is.
How much?
I wanted to
jump in here with Terry. How much does, you know, because he's saying, you know, everybody's been touched by the drug war, knows somebody that's been busted, whatever. How much does celebrity play into that? I mean, it used to be in Hollywood, nobody would ever mention that they were pot smokers. Now we see them lighting up, you know, Zach Galifianakis lighting up on Bill Maher's show. Is it changing in that celebrity culture? And does that celebrity culture change touch the average person?
Well, I believe it is changing. There is still a bit of a stigma. I still do hear, I know people that do not want to come out and support it or say that they smoke it because they're not going to get cast in the Disney movie.
Mm.
It's going to tarnish their image. It probably depends on how big you are, too. The bigger you are, the more you could probably really get away with something to make a statement.
Right.
But I do believe that there is a definite shift in it, and I feel that there's more and more people are becoming on board. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to create, Hollywood Hempress Hour, because there is a part where I'm wanting to focus on entertainers that are, you know, saying, hey, I smoke marijuana, I use it for these reasons, I believe it should be supported that way. One thing that I thought was really interesting, though, Paul Provenza, is also very courageous mm-hmm. in the fact that he's been supportive in marijuana. He had Tommy Chong on the show. He had Joe Rogan on the show on the Green Room. They were, you know, Tommy Chong told his story, what happened to him. But also, the comedians actually smoked marijuana on the show, which I thought was really fabulous. I thought it was very groundbreaking, and I applauded them for having the courage and the openness to do that.
So have they done this, Terry, on multiple shows? Because I saw the clip with Greg Proops and I can't remember who the other comedians were, Dana Gould, I think. But has it happened multiple times on Provenza's show?
It's happened, I know, for one, that was all the same show.
Oh, okay.
It was Proops and Kathy Griffin and Franklin Ajay and Dana Gould. And Dana Gould technically didn't smoke it. And the group too, which I thought was interesting too. I mean, I like the fact that you got a display of how everyone's reaction was about it was. my criticism was is that the mainstream media did not pick up on it. I really expected it to be on the news right afterwards, and was really I don't know why I would be shocked, but I think it signifies that what the mainstream media is, what their agenda is.
Yeah.
Is not for us.
Yeah. Well, let's we got to wind things up here, so let me give DJ a chance to give a little more information on the actions that are taking place there in Southern California regarding protests, meetings, anything people need to know moving forward from here.
Sure. Yeah. No, thank you very much. What we've launched right now is a petition to Jerry Brown. If anybody wants to, I'm going to have that petition available on our blog this afternoon. It's available now on Twitter. So if people want to follow Pan on Twitter, we're at Pan for Compassion, P-A-N, the number 4, Compassion. And there's an image of the petition right there they can download with instructions of what to do with it. Just mail it back to us. We're going to probably occupy Jerry Brown's office. When I spoke with someone from his office this past week about our letter and our list of asks and what patients need from him right now, the initial response was that we needed to go talk to Dianne Feinstein, which made me start breaking out giggling like a little girl. And I said, "You've got to be kidding me!" And he was just like, "Oh," I was like, "No, I think Jerry's going to have to deal with this." So, I think that it's going to take numbers. Right now, it's all about continued applied pressure. And here in California, we're going to focus on the governor and Kamala Harris, and that they need to step forward and be that wedge in between the federal government and the patients right now. If there really is a problem with profiteering and guns and cartels and all this horrible illegal stuff going on in the collective, then it needs to be Jerry Brown and our state officials who are enforcing that, not the federal government. And so that's our push and our ask right now here in the state of California. And we will continue that applied pressure every single place we need to. I just encourage activists all around the country. You know the problems in your backyard. You know what the grassroots are. You know, go shake it up. This is the time. And people can sign up for emails for us at CannabisSavesLives.org.
All right, CannabisSavesLives.org. And Terry Joyce with the Hollywood Hempress Hour. What's coming up on tonight's show and any other updates you want to give us?
Well, tonight's show actually is, we did an interview of Rafael Martinez from the Cannabis Cafe
right.
in Portland, Oregon. So he's going to be featured on the show. And I just want to let everyone know, please check out our blog at www.hollywoodhempresshour.com. We have the Hollywood Hempress Hour Facebook page and also Hollywood Hempress on Twitter. So you can follow that way too.
All right. Thanks so much, Terry Joyce and DJ Kuti from Hollywood Hempress Hour here in our Southern California scene. Thanks, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks.
All
right. When we come back, we have time for a little radical rant. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
It's that freedom. Freedom. I'm free to do whatever.
You're listening to Normal Show Live. The voice of the marijuana nation.
High Times presents Free Weed with Danny Danko every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific with replays at 11 p.m. Also catch the morning replays every Monday at 5 a.m. and the weekend replay every Sunday at 6 a.m. right here on the Normal Network.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From a friend's closet grow room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Hoo-ah!
All right, I wanted to take this time to address my opponent on the KGW news piece. We never got a chance to meet, but I know that you're a person that cares about children. You're with Oregon Partnership, and your stated goals here are to protect the children. So I wanted to just reassure you that we are not crazed people here just seeking the legality to get high because we want to see an end to society. We actually love society. We love America. We love this country. We love law and order. Legalization does not mean we're looking for a free-for-all. I was particularly disturbed when you said something to the effect of, we're sending the message that we want everybody to smoke as many joints as they can and get behind the wheel and who cares and let it. That is not true at all. The reason that we support the legalization of cannabis is to remove the free-for-all that currently exists with prohibition. Currently, anyone can buy marijuana. Anyone can sell marijuana. There's no limitations on where it can be grown. There's no limitations on who can be selling it and whether or not they have to check IDs. Now, I know you'll say, but it's prohibited. It's illegal. But that's obviously not working. We can look at the law and say, yes, it's a Schedule I substance and absolutely no one is supposed to be using it or selling it or growing it. But we can look at the facts and the reality that 25 million American adults are using cannabis at least once per year. We have millions and millions of plants that are grown every year. We always hear of those cases of eradication that are going on where they uproot millions of plants, interdiction, where they get hundreds of tons, and yet people are still smoking marijuana. So the prohibition itself does not work. We are offering the sensible alternative, some common sense. We already have two substances that are highly addictive and toxic, and we found a way to integrate them into society in a safe way. We have found a way to regulate them and to check people's IDs and to educate people about the real dangers that can happen from those substances. We've even managed to tax them and get some revenue from them to help deal with the problems that result from those substances. And considering that cannabis is neither toxic nor addictive, I would think that those actions would work even better for regulating cannabis than they work for tobacco and alcohol. If you really care about the kids, you don't want them selling in the schools. Well, how many tequila dealers do you find in the high school? If you really care about the kids, you don't want them having easy access to cannabis. Currently, they say it's easier to get cannabis than cigarettes. It's easy to get cannabis as cigarettes and easier to get than alcohol. If you really care about the kids, you'll want someone checking their IDs, and you want the stuff grown, stored, and sold in places that are available to adults only. We care about the kids.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
All right, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it. Check out our high-definition podcast feed, now available on iTunes and at our blog, stash.normal.org. Look for the normal.org redesign coming soon in a day or two. For Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.